Let's open God's Word together. It wouldn't be right for us not to do that today. So look in your Bibles with me this morning at 1 Peter chapter 2. Oftentimes around church gatherings, you hear the phrase used, God's house. Often used to speak of a church building like this one, right? This morning I want to ask you a question. Is it a right use of the term for the New Testament body of Christ, the church? Is it helpful in the Church of Jesus Christ to talk about the buildings where we gather, where we meet as followers of Jesus, as God's house? Or is it possible to use the term God's house to speak of buildings like this one or any other one is actually dangerous, because it can, doesn't have to, but it can eclipse the way God Himself wants us to understand the term God's house, even as it's revealed very clearly in the New Testament. Now, in the Old Testament, what you see on the screen, this is where God chose to dwell. An amazingly ornate building, and with specific ways and times and procedures for worship. Certain folks could only go into certain parts of the temple, and there was even very limited access, especially to the actual presence of God. In fact, once a year, through the high priest alone. It was an awe-inspiring place, intended to communicate the holiness of God and to foreshadow the grace of God in Jesus. And what I want you to see this morning from our text in 1 Peter, Peter in these verses we're going to read is unpacking who we are as a family of believers, as part of the body of Christ. And what he wants you to know, what he wants his readers to understand, is the amazing reality that we have become part of in Christ. Here's what he wants us to know in a word. We are God's living house. The title of the message this morning is God's Living House. This message, I want you to get it. It's about you. It's not about this place or any other place. It's about the body of Christ. It's about the family of God. The truth I want you to take home with you is this. As followers of Jesus united in Him, we are the living house in which God dwells for His glory through us around the world. 1 Peter chapter 2, would you stand with me? Begin reading in verse 4. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 4. Peter says, as you come to Him, the living stone, rejected by humans, but chosen by God and precious to Him, you also, like living stones, are being built into a spiritual house to be a holy priesthood, offering spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. For in Scripture it says, see, I lay a stone in Zion, a chosen and precious cornerstone, and the one who trusts in Him will never be put to shame. Now to you who believe, this stone is precious. But to those who do not believe, the stone the builders rejected has become the cornerstone, and a stone that causes people to stumble, and a rock that makes them fall. They stumble because they disobey the message, which is also what they were destined for. But you are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people for His own possession, that you may proclaim the excellencies of Him who called you out of darkness into His marvelous light. And all of God's people said, amen. You may be seated. As followers of Jesus united in Him, we are the living house in which God dwells for His glory through us around the world. I want you to notice three aspects quickly this morning of God's living house. First of all, notice the cornerstone of the house. Did you catch it? Did you see who the cornerstone of the house is? It's there in verse 4, also in verses 6 through 8. As you come to Him, the living stone, speaking here of Jesus, rejected by humans, but chosen by God and precious. Verse 6 says that God speaking, I lay in a stone in Zion, a chosen and precious cornerstone. The one who trusts in Him, in Jesus, will never be put to shame. Now to you who believe, verse 7, this stone is precious. Isn't He? Isn't that cornerstone of the house of God precious to your soul this morning? The stone the builders rejected, he's the one that's become the cornerstone. You see, it's all about Jesus and how we choose to respond to him. The only way to be part of God's spiritual house is to be coming to him, to come to Jesus, as the text says. As you come to him, you are being built and shaped around the cornerstone of God's house. Now, this involves our initial repentance from sin, our trust in Jesus as our Savior when we first came to him. But it speaks of how we live every day as his followers. It speaks of our daily coming to Jesus, our daily dependence on him for life before God and understanding about how to live as his people. Verse 4 says that he is the living stone. Jesus is not just one stone among many. Pick whichever one you want. Build your life around it. Jesus is the cornerstone, the only cornerstone that the Father has laid in Zion, in the body of Jesus Christ, the foundational stone to which the rest of the building aligns. That's me and you, as we'll see in a minute. In the text we read earlier, the quotations from the Old Testament, as Peter says, the scriptures come from Isaiah 28:16, Psalm 118:22, and Isaiah 8, verse 14, all of which are messianic prophecies concerning the very thing that we're talking about this morning, that God's spiritual temple on earth in the lives of his people is the church being built around Jesus, the cornerstone. Jesus is God's precious cornerstone. Have you come to him as your Lord and Savior today? Have you personally come to him? Have you become part of God's spiritual house by coming to the cornerstone, even Jesus Christ, the one and only Savior of the world? And are you coming to him daily, just as dependent on his grace and power as the first day you trusted him for all that you need to follow him? You see, as followers of Jesus united in him, we are the living house in which God dwells for his glory through us around the world. But secondly, we've seen the cornerstone of the house. Notice with me the building blocks of the house. Verse 5, the first part. But you also, like living stones, are being built into a spiritual house. Peter looks at his readers. Peter looks at you and he says, if you know Jesus, you are like living stones being built into the temple of the living God. There is no more earthly temple. There's not going to be an earthly temple. God's temple now is the body of Christ. It's us. We are living stones as believers in Jesus, and we are being built. Don't you like that? We are being built. That's in the passive voice if you want to think about grammar. I never was great at grammar till I got to college and had to study Greek and learn grammar so I could understand the Bible clearly. What does it mean to be in the passive? It means that God is the one doing the active. We are action. We are being built. We're not building ourselves, right? Everybody you've heard testify this morning about the history of this church, what have they said? It is God who works in you, both to will and to work of his good pleasure. It is God who builds his church. Jesus said, the gates of hell won't prevail against it. I will build my church. And every day, that's what's happening in our lives. He's working in us to bring us together, even on occasions like these, so that he might get glory in these moments. This image is meant to communicate not only our union with Jesus through faith, but also our growing likeness to him. We are being built as we live by faith in him day after day. As followers of Jesus, united in him, we are the living house in which God dwells for his glory through us around the world. Please don't let this be wasted on you this morning. God has chosen to make us his living house, to dwell on earth in us, and to make his glory known, David, through us. Is that not just astounding to you? You know, the temple there in Jerusalem was an amazing place. The Shekinah glory of God, his very presence, dwelt in the most holy place, the Holy of Holies, there behind the veil, over the Ark of the Covenant. The Shekinah glory would dwell, and it was so awesome and awe-inspiring that only the high priest could go in. And it was a fearful thing because God is holy, And there his holiness dwelt. But where did it dwell? Over the Ark of the Covenant. What was on the top of the Ark of the Covenant? Everybody remember? I told you the answer. The top of the Ark of the Covenant. What was that thing called? The mercy seat. It was there that the holiness of God and the grace of God came together to provide the salvation of God for sinners like me and you, that we might be forgiven and made righteous before a holy and loving God. And today, Jesus Christ is the mercy seat, where all the holiness of God and his mercy and grace for sinners met, where justice and love kissed, the Psalms say, so that you and I could have salvation. Today, we are the temple. His glory dwells in us. And his glory is seen when we get the message of grace out of our hearts and through our mouths into the ears and minds and hearts of others who need to hear what God has done for them in Jesus. Amen? That's how the glory is seen and heard. As followers of Jesus united in him, we are the living house in which God dwells for his glory through us around the world. But notice finally this morning the purpose of the house. Why is God building this house? We've already alluded to it. We've mentioned it. Verse 5, the second part. You are who you are. You've been made a spiritual house to be a holy priesthood, offering spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. Verse 9 also speaks to this. But you are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people for his own possession. Why has he made you all of that? That you may proclaim the excellencies of him. Him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. You see, as God's living house, we are also to be his holy priesthood that spends our lives offering spiritual sacrifices through Jesus, our great high priest, that bring glory and honor to him before a watching world. And what are the sacrifices we're to offer? What is it we're to give to him? Well, Paul makes it real clear. It's our whole lives, our whole being. Romans 12, verse 1, Paul says, I appeal to you, therefore, brothers, by the mercies of God. By the way, the book of Romans, the first 11 chapters, Paul is unfolding God's plan of salvation, his mercies in 11 chapters. You want to get the gospel of God in a big form, and we may just dive into Romans here in a few weeks, but 11 chapters worth. And then he turns in Romans 12, 1 and says, I appeal to you, brothers, therefore, brothers, by the mercies of God, based on 11 chapters worth of grace, here's my appeal to you. Present your bodies as a living sacrifice. When you see Jesus, when you see the cross, when you understand the resurrection, when you understand the salvation of our God, all you can do is climb up on the altar of sacrifice. Give your whole being, your whole life to the one who died for you and rose again. Amen? Paul says, present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your spiritual worship. Some translations say, which is your reasonable act of worship. It only makes sense. It's the only logical and natural response to such grace. And folks, this is why we are here. This is the purpose of God's spiritual house of which we are a part. We are to be worshiping him in such a way that the world sees his glory. Because we have a living Savior, we have a living hope, 1 Peter tells us, in our new life in Jesus that came to us through the living Word of God, the gospel. Now we as living stones are being built on the living cornerstone, Jesus, into God's living house to show his glory to the world through our life together. There's a whole lot of life in what happens when God saves a bunch of people and brings them together as a church and uses them in the world. Amen. Did you hear all that? A living Savior, living hope, the living Word of God, the living cornerstone. We're living stones, and it's all about making his life known to a world that needs life. As followers of Jesus united in him, we are the living house in which God dwells for his glory through us around the world. That's why we continually say around here we are captivated by Christ and exist to spread our enjoyment of the beauty of Christ to the world. And that we do that by enjoying God's grace in Jesus through worship and the Word. We do that by embracing God's power through prayer. We do that by expressing God's love through service to others. And we do that by extending God's glory in the world by personally sharing the gospel both locally and globally. 125 years later, this is who we are. And this living house is who we must be. Are you on mission with your Savior and His living house here at East L.J. Baptist Church? Pray with me if you will. Father, we thank you for the clarity of your word about what the house of God truly is, what we really are. Thank you for the house of God, the living house of God that has existed for 125 years in this community through the lives of the members of East L.J. Baptist Church. And God, may we, above all, honor your gospel and our great Savior by living to proclaim the excellencies of the one who has saved us. God, by your Spirit, come and just continue to assist us now as we worship, as the Aikens lead us, and we praise you and thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. As he was preaching, this song came to my heart. It's not planned. I'm sorry. We don't have the lyrics for it, but I just felt like this would be a very appropriate song to lead into what we're going to be doing. But if you feel led, I tell you what, let's do. Y'all, if anyone feels led at this time and you want to come pray or whatever, we can do that. Me and Julie, this is my wife, Julie, for those of you who don't know her, and long story short, God worked out an opportunity for us to go and lead worship at a conference together, and we had not sang together since we got married, really. We got married, and when we got married on our wedding day, we sang a special song that we loved singing together. We sang it at our wedding. It was pretty cool, but some of you remember that, but because you were there. But we honestly haven't sang much since then, and God just opened this door, and God is doing something in our family, through our entire family. Whitney's beginning to share, which is a God thing, and we don't have time to go into all that. She was always the shy one, and you might remember her, but God is just doing something in our family. And God laid this song on my heart as I was listening to you preach. And if you know it, you sing it with us.
My hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. I dare not trust the sweetest frame, but wholly trust in Jesus' name. My hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood, than Jesus' blood and righteousness. I dare not trust the sweetest frame, but wholly trust in Jesus' name. Christ alone, cornerstone, weak made strong in the Savior's love. The storm, He is Lord, Lord of all. When darkness seems to hide His face, I rest on His unchanging grace. In every high and stormy gale, my anchor holds within the veil. My anchor holds within the veil.
Come on.
When He shall come with trumpet sound,
may I then
Oh, may I then in him be found, dressed in his righteousness alone, faultless to stand before the throne.
Seated. We're not going to take much of your time. I know the hour's late. I know everybody's hungry. Who's hungry? I'm hungry. We're going to do a few songs for you guys. We've got a new CD since we've seen you last. And I remember when Davey was going to seminary, and there's not enough time to tell you all the crazy things that had happened that year in our lives. Just honestly, we've had some of the two worst years in our lives, but I believe God is using it to shape us. And get us ready for what he's called us to do in these next few years. But all that said, we didn't really know what we were going to do. Davey was gone. We're going, never done it this way before. This feels kind of scary and unknown. And it was like God was just telling us, just keep your eyes on the road and follow after me. And I'll take care of the rest. And so that's where this song kind of came from. And the whole really title of our new album, it's called Eyes on the Road. And I need a chance to put my guitar down. I don't need it. But we're going to do a song called Eyes on the Road. And okay, now I'm ready. You guys ready? You can clap with us, clap along.
Eyes on the road, I'll follow. Eyes on the road, I'll follow. Eyes on the road, I'll follow. Eyes on the road, I'll follow hard after you.
Be a flashlight in the darkness, illuminate my path. Show me footsteps on the muddy trail so I can follow step by step.
Cause I can't see where I'm going, but I'm trusting in your plan. So I'll keep my eyes on you, oh Lord, straight to the promised land.
Eyes on the road, I'll follow. Eyes on the road, I'll follow. Eyes on the road, I'll follow. Eyes on the road, I'll follow hard after you. On the road, I'll follow. Eyes on the road, I'll follow. Eyes on the road, I'll follow. Eyes on the road, I'll follow hard after.
There'll be people on the sidelines saying, won't you follow me? I think I found a shortcut. Why don't we find out where it leads?
There'll be places that I'll come to where I really want to stay. Kick back and take a look.
Eyes on the road, I'll follow. 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 Hard after you. On the road, I'll follow. Eyes on the road, I'll follow. Eyes on the road, I'll follow. Eyes on the road, I'll follow. Hard after you.
Thank you.
road I'll follow. Eyes on the road I'll follow. Eyes on the road I'll follow. Hard after you on the road I'll follow. Eyes on the road I'll follow. Eyes on the road I'll follow. Eyes on the road I'll follow. Hard after you on the road I'll follow. Eyes on the road I'll follow. Eyes on the road I'll follow. Eyes on the road I'll follow. Hard after you.
Well, if you were here in the earlier service, we were talking about God's faithfulness. And we're going to sing another song that we've written about God's faithfulness and how he never breaks his promises. We can count on him. He is trustworthy. And it goes like this.
Forsake us, you promise nothing can separate us. You promised all things work together for our good. You promised you're coming back to take us. Each promise you have spoken never will be broken. Chain your blood breaks through our stained. Your cross breaks sin and shame. Your life breaks the rules of death. Your light breaks the darkness. And though you break all of this, you'll never break a promise. Amen. You promised to cast our sin east to west. You promised in you we will find a rest. You promised that you would supply our every need. You promised your strength in our weakness. Each promise you have spoken never will be broken. Your love breaks every chain. Your blood breaks through our stains. Your cross breaks sin and shame. Your life breaks the rules of death. Your light breaks the darkness. And though you break all of this, you'll never break a promise.
Y'all stand and sing this with us.
Standing, standing, standing on the promises of God, my Savior. On the promises of God. Your love breaks every chain. Your blood breaks through our stains. Your cross breaks sin and shame. Your life breaks the rules of death. Your light breaks the darkness. And though you break all of this, you'll never break.
You can be seated for just a moment. This is Eli's wife, Whitney.
Yes. Hey guys, I think last time we were here for any amount of time, I was maybe a newlywed, and now Eli and I have been married for 10 years. We have two little girls and a little boy on the way, so a lot has changed. And just wanted to quickly introduce the next song. It's called I Need Your Love to Love Her. And it's kind of a different song. It's a love song, but it's really a love song about how our love in our marriages has limits. And in the last couple of years, Nick mentioned it's been a hard couple of years. And for me and Eli, we've learned this lesson in our marriage, that as much as we love each other, there's been sufferings that our love for each other hasn't been able to take away. And there's been circumstances that our love hasn't been able to change, and hurts that our love, as much as we love each other, hasn't been able to heal. And I think at some point in your marriage, whether it's early on or later, you come to this realization that your love is not enough for your spouse, and their love is not enough for you. And it's a hard realization because we've been taught, you know, that you should have a beautiful love story and find your soulmate and the person who completes you. And so when you come to this realization, I think maybe something's wrong. Maybe this person doesn't really love you, or you don't really love them, or maybe you made the wrong decision. But the truth is that marriage was never really meant to be about our romance or a love story, as much as I love those things. Marriage was created by God to bring glory to Him. And, you know, we see in Ephesians 5, that's that chapter that we read a lot about marriage, and it's hard. You know, wives, submit to your husbands, and husbands, love your wives as Christ loves the church. And then he says, and this is a profound mystery, because I'm talking about Christ and how much He loves the church. And it's just like, God, do you know me and Eli? Because we are so imperfect. How are we ever going to reflect how much you love your church? It's impossible. But Ephesians 5 also talks about how we have to be filled with His Spirit to ever live a life of godliness. And so God wants us to come to Him when we feel like our love has met its limits, because His love doesn't have limits. And He wants us to come to Him when we feel like we can't be humble for our spouse, because He is a God who gives us strength when we humble ourselves before Him. And God wants so much more for us than romance or a soulmate or a love story. God wants a covenant between us, between Him. And when we do that and we humble ourselves to His Spirit, our marriage isn't just a nice story. It's a reflection of His glory, because it's Him through us. And so I just want to encourage you today. I know there's a lot of age ranges of marriages in this room. Marriage is so hard. And at some point, everyone's going to struggle in their marriage. But if you're at that point where you really don't know what to do, and you know your love has met its limit, turn to the Lord, because it's the only way you're ever going to be enough for your spouse.
She can push my buttons, I can make her cry. She lives by her emotions, and I can be so dry. We've been in love for so long, sometimes it feels like work. I need your love to love her. The first time I saw her, she took my breath away. Now everything's familiar, lost in the day to day. Before you know it happens, love can lose its spark. I need your love to love her. When I'm at my worst, I need your strength to hold her. When she doesn't show love first, your humbleness to give her the man that she deserves. I need your love to love her.
I don't know why she chose me. She's way out of my league. I'm stubborn and I'm selfish. It comes so naturally. Without you at the center, I'll never be enough. I need your love to love her. When I'm at my worst, I need your strength to hold her. When she doesn't show love first, your humbleness to give her the man that she deserves. I need your love to love her. Your love is not conditional. Your love casts out fear. Your love is patient, kind, and calm. Your love draws us near. I need your love to love her. When I'm at my worst, I need your strength to hold her. When she doesn't show love first, your humbleness to give her the man that she deserves. I need your love to love her. I need your love to love her.
Well, I just love all of you, and this is a song that years ago, and I began to share with the guys a message I heard, and I said, boys, this would be my testimony for the rest of my life, and I prayed it every morning since. Get up every morning, and I pray, God, would you let my stage be an altar? I pray that people will always see the same David Akin down there as they see up here. I pray that my kids and my grandkids always see that. And I pray that one day, I think, if y'all would just put it on my tombstone, David K. Akin Jr., he made his stage an altar. I think that would be good. That would be good. Let's sing it. They let me sing every now and then. Another town, another place, a different crowd, brand new stage, spotlights on me. Once again, I get to choose. Keep it here, pointed to you. Lord, I want my stage to be an altar, so all the praise goes to the Father. If I get selfish and make this life fall about me, Lord, please, I want my stage to be an altar. Alarm goes off to start the day. Each child of God takes your stage. I listen with many of you. Probably gonna be at school, but most of you probably a job somewhere. But I know, East LJ, I know this world could change. if this was our prayer. Lord, I want my stage to be an altar, so all the praise goes to the Father. If I get selfish and make this life all about me, Lord, please, I want my stage to be an altar. Listen to me. Some perform to thousands, oh, and some to just a few. Oh, but numbers aren't important. Just gotta do what we can do. Oh, then one day when we see Jesus and we touch his nail-scarred hands, he's gonna tell us how our little bitty lives were such a big part of his plan. Lord, I want my stage to be an altar, so all the praise goes to the Father. And Lord, in those times when I get selfish, and I do many times, and I start trying to make this whole life all about me, Lord, you know my heart. I want my stage to be an altar. I want my stage to be an altar. I want my stage to be an altar. More than anything in this world, oh Lord Jesus, forgive me when I failed at that. And I always let my stage be an altar.
Amen, guys. We're going to wrap up. We're going to do, let's just do one more song, guys. And then after that, we'll, however you guys want to take the service from there, we'll can do the offering or however y'all want to do that. We've got a song for that. But I wanted to do this particular song in case there's anyone here who maybe was invited, maybe you don't even really understand what all this is about. I just wanted to share a song that when I was going through one of the darkest times in my life, I remember feeling it was so dark that I almost felt like God's love wasn't even there. I just couldn't even feel him. You know, it was like God's always there whether we feel him or not. And that's why we should never base things on our feelings, because our feelings mislead us. But I remember going through a hard time, and I just remember crying out to God and just needing a reminder that he loved me. And this is kind of a different kind of a song. This is a song written from Jesus's perspective to you. And if you're here today and there's never been a time where you've come to a personal faith and trust in Jesus, what he did for you on the cross. See, it's all about what he did. We can come to church and we can look the part. That doesn't make us a Christian. It doesn't make us truly saved. What makes us saved is, has there ever been a time where you realized you were a sinner, you needed a Savior, and you looked to Jesus to save you from your sin, your personal sin? The Bible promises that if we will just look to him in faith and trust, ask him to forgive us of our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. He will save you today. And so if you're here and there's never been a time, don't leave here without, we'll be some of the last people to leave here today. We're going to tear all this equipment down. We'd love to talk with you. I know the pastor would love to talk with you. Find someone to talk to about your relationship with Jesus. And this is just a song written about how much Jesus loves you and what he was willing to go through for you.
This whipping post, the Roman soldier stripped my clothes. my back stretched out, I'm gonna prove I'm dying to be with you. As I take the cross through crowded streets, they curse my name and spit on. It's crazy what love will make you do. I'm dying to be with you. You won't be born for a long time, but you're already on my mind. You're the reason why. It's worth the pain I must go through. I'm dying to be with you. As they press my back against the cross and pound the nails into my, I can't help but scream as they go through. I'm dying to be with you. They raise me up, the blood spills down. It's just a matter of time now. They shout, save yourself, but I refuse. I'm dying to be with you. You won't be born for a long time, but you're already on my mind. You're the reason why I came. I'm gonna wash away your stains. I love to be apart. It's worth the pain I must go through. I'm dying to be with you. Soon the veil will tear in two. They'll lay my body in a tomb, but the stone can't hold me. Last breath, I'll make things new. I'm dying to be with you. It's finished, I died for you.
Pastor, we'll turn it over to you at this time.
That's the gospel. That's what this church was founded on, what it still stands on today, what the only thing it can stand on. That's why we came, that you might know Jesus is your personal Lord and Savior. These guys are going to sing one more song. We're going to receive the offering for them during this time, but the altar's open for you to come as they sing, that you might respond to this message. What an encouragement the Aikens have been to us this afternoon. Amen. Amen. And David, David, I looked at you at one point during that second, two songs ago, the song about marriage, and I'm going to do it again. It's not about what we do in ministry, it's about who we raise. And you know, when you, to hear your boys talk about, and your boys' wives to talk about what marriage really is. That's what it's all about. And you know, if you guys never did anything else, that's the gospel in shoes right there. And that's what will change the world. Don't let that marriage song go to waste on you. Find that song. Go back and listen to it. That's what marriage is all about. And to just see you guys and having watched you grown up, not as close as the rest of this folk, these folks here, but some here and there in the past. What a joy to see talking to you guys now, your embrace of the gospel, your understanding of the gospel, and your application of the gospel in your lives and your families. Man, God's going to do great things, greater than what happens from the stage, David, what happens through these little ones for generations. So we just want to encourage you. We appreciate you. We love you. Appreciate y'all being with us on a special day. So the altar's open. You do what you need to do with the Lord. Do what you need to do for the Aikens in giving generously as they sing us out. And at the end of that, Kyle Ray is going to dismiss us in prayer and bless the food. And the food is that way, outside through the double doors. Enjoy yourself this afternoon.
Yeah, well, this last song we're going to do has been the theme of our ministry for the past year. We're starting something new. Pray for us. We're calling it Fight for the Family, because we want our whole family to be an example to other families and to be able to share not just the three of us, but our wives and everyone, just to share our struggles and different things that God's teaching us. So y'all pray for us. But this has kind of become our theme song for the week. Do you want to say anything before you sing it? Are you ready to go?
I love you. I wish I could hear Leon Ingalls pray one more time.
As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. We will serve the Lord. We will serve the Lord. As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. We will serve the Lord.
Those
who don't believe, they'll say we've lost our minds as we walk the straight and narrow, while they choose the smooth and wide. But we'll keep our eyes on Jesus till we reach the other side, and we will serve the Lord. How about you, church? As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. We will serve the Lord. We will serve the Lord. As for me and my house, serve the Lord. We will serve the Lord.
Some bow down.
Some bow down to money. In the end, what is it worth if we live it up and spend it all on pleasures of this earth? We have a cross to carry. Choose this day who you will serve. But we will serve. Serve the Lord. Sing it, church. Come on. We will serve the Lord. We will serve the Lord. As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. We will serve the Lord.
Help me, Eli. Come on, buddy.
We'll be the hands and feet of Jesus. Tender. The helpless.
serve the Lord. We will serve the Lord. We will serve the Lord. As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. We will serve the Lord. One more time, come on, guys. As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. We will serve the Lord. We will serve the Lord. As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. We will serve the Lord. We will serve the Lord.
We love you guys. God bless you.